Hi, everyone. Welcome to the High Vibe Tribe podcast, part of HeartShift Radio. And I'm your host, Marcy Newman, the HeartShift coach. And I'm here today with a wonderful guest, a very longtime friend of mine. And her name is Cindy Sanson Braff. And I am really, really delighted to bring her to you because I have known her for so many years, number one. And in that time, I have been blessed to bear witness to the most incredible transformation as she has become such an expansive light in her field. My hat is off to her. I don't know how she does everything she does, but what we know about spirit is that, well, it's when we say yes, and we kind of let it have its way with us, it really does. So Cindy is a playwright, she's an author, she's a mystic, she's a medium. And what we're going to hear more about today is her relationship coaching. And you're going to see really what distinguishes her from so many others. And so without further ado, Cindy, I welcome you. Welcome to the Heart Shift Radio and the High Vibe Tribe podcast.
Hi.
Well, hi, I'm so glad to be here. Yes, we've been friends a very long time and been through a lot together. And you have taught me more about the law of attraction than anyone. And really, it was from you that I started to really study that. So I thank you for that because it's been such a positive influence in my life. And I was not, I heard about it before you, but never the way that you described it so clearly, and it made so much sense. So my life changed for the better because of you, and I appreciate that.
Thank you so much. Thank you. All right. So listen up, everybody, because you're going to absolutely love this. So Cindy is known as the romance whisperer. I love that. But listen, Cindy talks to the dead to show you how to live well and to love better. So she's an author, a playwright, a relationship coach, a mystic, a medium, a tarot therapist. And I would say she's also a visionary because I remember conversations so many years ago. Actually, one that comes to mind was, I think we were both at some kind of a psychic fair. And we just had the most wonderful conversation. And I could just feel the expansiveness, Cindy, of like everything about you. And of course, it has just come to total fruition. So you can understand, everybody, why Cindy has won the Long Island Press Best of Long Island contest in the psychic category 5 years in a row. Cindy is the author of a wonderful book, Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. This post 9/11 step-by-step spiritual guide to loving with the heart, soul, mind, and body. And I love that whole succession there. Is one of the most comprehensive studies of love that you'll ever encounter. In fact, it's one of Amazon's best-selling books in the New Age channeling category. Her latest book, Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships, with a subtitle of, you ready for this? Letting Go of Your 6 So-Called Good Traits That Keep You Tied to the Devil You Know. Anyway, this book helps people have better personal, professional, platonic, and romantic relationships. And of course, she's a proud member of the Long Island Authors Group, and I had actually forgotten about them. That's wonderful. So Cindy has thousands of tarot card clients, and many well-known celebrities are among her biggest fans. She's been heard on radio shows across the country. She's a host of her own radio show, which has aired weekly for more than a decade. And of course, she's been the guest on a television show called The Ladies' Room, which airs on Long Island's East End and has also been featured in Cablevision's Neighborhood Journal
The Daily News, The Reader's Digest, Huffington Post, Your Tango, and countless other publications as well. She gives workshops and seminars on a wide range of topics, but of course, relationships and writing and all things metaphysical are her love. So, Cindy, we just have to jump right in. And what came into my mind was that psychic fair that we were both at, that I was just talking about a moment ago. Because I remember getting a copy of your book. And, you know, the first thing that happened was, you know, holding this book, this is one substantial book. And when Cindy talks about, you know, taking you step by step, this is no small ladder of love. I remember immediately being so impressed with the detail of that book and wondering, first off, how long did it take you to write that?
It took actually 4 years because I was, you know, I work a lot. So but I did spend thousands of hours doing it. And back then I was used to working on a word processor, which is different from a computer. And to do this book, I had to go master a computer. And it was so funny because I was getting all jumbled up, didn't know how to do it, and said to God, "You want this book? Well, I'm just going to take a nap right now. And when I wake up, you had better send me some spirit guides to help me with this computer because this book will never get done." And I went to sleep and I woke up and all of a sudden I'm sitting by the computer and I hear like my spirit guide saying, "Cindy, you're having trouble with the mouse. It's like the word processor. You can use certain keyboard. You can just hit the keyboard for all the functions at first. It'll work." And all of a sudden I knew how to use it. And when I wrote the book, you know, I had no idea why it's taken so long. And you typed pages, it's about maybe 320 pages. And I had no idea that that was going to translate into 579 pages.
It's very robust.
So here I'm thinking, why is this 320-page book taking me so long? And so that was, for me, you know, kind of eye-opening that, yeah, it was a big book. It's, you know, love's a big topic. So the universe wanted me to put all the knowledge that had been channeled to me over about a 10-year period into a book so that it wouldn't all be lost after I died. And I had a lot of spirit guides helping me write it. And I know that now because there are times when I'll be, you know, confused about something. And I'll hear my spirit guide saying, "Cindy, open to page 320 or something in the book." And I'll open and I'll go, "Oh yeah." And they'll go, "You know this stuff." And I'll be like, "Yeah, I know I did thousands of hours of work and research, read a lot of books, but when I read it, it comes from somewhere so far from me, like it was really being channeled." And I can't state that enough because sometimes I would get something wrong and I would hear, "This is not correct." And I was like, "Well, I don't know what to do about it." And then the next week, all the people that came for their tarot card readings would have, say, an issue like commitment phobia, which is a pretty big topic in the book. And it would show what I had gotten wrong because now these people were coming and tweaking what I learned. So they kept sending me people or books, things to get it correct. So yes, it was an enormous task. Absolutely.
I really was blown away. But what I need to mention is how parallel our stories are in terms of bringing to market, you know, what spirit was flushing through us, because I had the same experience. So at this very same time, I was getting all of these downloads for the Law of Attraction products that I knew I needed to bring to market, but I was the same. I didn't even know how to send an email. How do I bring the physical products to market? And I did the same thing. And it was, you know, spirit, you want me to do this, then you have to put this, you know, in motion, because I don't have the first notion how to do this. And I had to hire somebody, my first assistant actually, to teach me how to send an email. So,
wow. And see how you've grown. And of course, we didn't stop learning. Like a lot of people just want to stop learning. They hit what I call a reset button in this life. They go, this is all I'm going to learn for now. So I'm going to just coast through the rest of my life. And, you know, the reset button means when I'm in spirit, they'll show me what I could have learned or could have done different. And in my next lifetime, I'll get it right. But I don't want to learn anymore. Like, no, we have to continue to learn or we're going to become a dinosaur. And the universe will guide us in every single way. And even with the title of the book, I called it The Ladder of Love. Mm-hmm. And Spirit said, that's not the title. And I was like, well, I don't know what the title is. And they said, you know, meditate for a little while. And when I finished the meditation, grant me a higher love was given to me. Yeah. And what was said by Spirit was, you don't even have to read the book. Just say, grant me a higher love. It's a prayer. And we'll start bringing you a higher love. So the title to me was so brilliant because it didn't come from me. It was just something that made a lot of sense once I heard it, why it was the better title. And, you know, I surrendered to Spirit. Like, this is your book as much as mine. And if that's, you know, what you want, that's fine. But looking back at it now, I don't think I could do such an enormous task as that again. You know, most of my books are shorter or plays or not like that. That was beyond something. And there was a window of time to do it because I'd gotten divorced and I was living alone. And it meant that I could write at 2 o'clock in the morning for a couple of hours or, you know, write at odd hours of the day and able to do it for long periods of time because I didn't have the distractions that, you know, when you have a maid or, you know, your children are living in your house, you just don't have that kind of luxury.
That's
so it was sort of a window of opportunity to complete that book.
Well, I'm so glad that you did. And I know that there are so many readers around the world who are also so happy that you did. And one of the things that you were talking about also just brought up a memory of mine as part of our discussion. And that is, you know, really what happens when we just surrender and we allow Spirit. It sounds funny, but it's like allowing Spirit to kind of have its way with us, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, when you just say, okay. And I know that our audience is going to really appreciate this because I think it's a lot of the struggle that some people have as they seemingly live in two worlds, right? We have the world of what most people would call reality, but we have the real reality. And that is where we are tuned into a greater consciousness. And your greater love book is testament to that. And by the way, I just wanted you to know, Cindy, I have been walking around the house the whole morning singing, grant me a higher love.
And I think Steve Winwood can't believe everybody says grant instead of bring me a higher love, you know, like how did it become grant me a higher love, the song, you know? And it's funny because when we hear things like that song, Higher Love, I'm not sure we knew what that meant.
No.
And there was a song that one of the lines, and I remember my daughter was about 15 and we're in the car together and it said, you know, this is more than love I feel inside. And we were like, well, what's more than love? You know, like, because neither one of us knew a higher love. So the whole concept of, yes, you know, there is love, but there are different levels of love. And I think just that in itself is so helpful to understand, you know, that maybe this is love, but it's not our highest love. It's that was to me like amazing. Oh, yeah. Love is different. It's not all the same. It's not all created equal, all love.
Right. And that's what I love so much about the book, because clearly you were in this higher love as you were writing it. And yet you were able to bring it into, well, that ladder, right? Where people can start to understand these different phases, these different vibrational frequencies of how love then will be manifested. So let's dive in, because I'm sure there are a lot of people who want to know all about this, right? Like, let's talk about soulmates. That's what you were talking about in the book. How do you attract a soulmate? But I guess the first thing that we need to talk about is, like, what does that mean? Because I know that there's a lot of confusion about that. Talk. Yeah,
soulmates,
Talk to us, master.
Okay, we have different kinds of soulmates. We have platonic soulmates, which are our really intense friendships that we have. We have some family that really resonate like soulmates because they bring out the best in us. Soulmates bring out the best in us. But romantic soulmates is mainly what the book concerns itself with. And a romantic soulmate has this recognition factor. Like, we feel like we've always known the person. We're very comfortable with them from the first encounter. And it has a different kind of time to it. In ancient Greek, they have two words for time. One is chronos time, which means, you know, I have to do this podcast with Marcy at 11:30 a.m. And then there's keros time, which is soul time, where it feels like we've always known this person, not that we just met them 5 minutes ago or an hour ago. And keros time means it doesn't matter if we know this soulmate for a month or 100 years. They have this incredible impact on our souls. It's an alchemy of two souls together that stirs up our soul to evolve and grow. So soulmates are there to teach us, to help us, to make us evolve and grow, and to bring out the best in each other. And there's a soul contract that if we stop teaching each other, if we start enabling each other, if we stop growing and evolving, then that contract is null and void, and we need to end it and move on because we're no longer serving each other's higher good. So soulmates are there to help us evolve in this lifetime, to help heal issues. It's very important. Soulmate love brings up a lot of unhealed issues. And when you meet a soulmate, you have this feeling that you love them with your heart, which we all understand what it means to love someone with our heart. But we also love them with our soul, which means we want to be a better person. We suddenly understand love songs, or we want to understand spirituality. It brings us to this in touch with our soul. We also love them with our minds, which means we like to communicate with them. We love talking with them. And we love them with our bodies, which is not to be poo-pooed away that there's such a strong sexual chemistry between soulmates, because, you know, it's a very tempting world. And soulmates have this incredible soul connection and sexual connection that they don't want to be with anyone else but each other. And so the chemistry is very strong. So it has to have hit on all those points, heart, soul, mind, and body. But the main thing that soulmates do is they help us to learn our karmic lessons, to heal issues from past lives, and to help us evolve.
So do you think in most cases when we come together with our soulmate that we've had previous lifetimes with them?
Sometimes we have. Once in a while, we're brought a brand new soulmate. We have more than one soulmate. So how we can tell when it's a brand new soulmate is it feels like there's no karma to make right with. It's a very easy relationship. There doesn't feel like a lot of baggage. When there's a soulmate that we've been in the past, it can be good baggage, you know, but it's still, say they happen to have died on us in that past lifetime. We may be terrified to love them because we're afraid to love someone who could die in us. So suddenly we meet this person and we sort of have this sense of panic about the relationship. So yeah, we often have met them before. Rarely we meet one that is brand new, and those are always delightful and fun. And so it really depends upon, you know, what lesson we need to learn from that particular person. And we're not going to meet every soulmate that we could possibly meet because there's free will, and maybe we stayed too long in a toxic relationship for 10 years and we should have only stayed there 5 and we would have met a soulmate, but now that soulmate's with someone else. So a lot of things are kind of flexible, but they will keep bringing us a certain person or different people until we learn those lessons. And that's why people often see a pattern in their relationships. It seems like a different person, a different face, but it's the same lesson over and over again. And until we learn why is God bringing us that particular kind of a person over and over, the pattern won't be broken. And so once we've learned lessons, then another soulmate might be brought in. Some soulmates are meant to last for a long time. Others may be just for a brief period of time.
So you bring up a couple of really interesting points. What I'm hearing you say then is that there actually could be someone who was designed to be your romantic soulmate that you don't come in contact with because the timing just doesn't ever seem to be right. Is that correct?
Right, because soulmates are brought from God and someone who's died. It could be a parent, a child, a friend who's brought us the soulmate. And it is a divine conspiracy of heaven and earth. You don't bring two soulmates at the same time. So either one has ceased to be a soulmate, and just because it starts out a soulmate, it can drag down the ladder of love all the way to toxic, which I call cellmates. People don't heal their issues. Mm-hmm. Or over time, you can just take each other for granted and it becomes a mediocre level of love. And so that's the whole point of it. You know, it depends, you know, when divine conspiracy of heaven and earth means, you know, you can't be with a soulmate or they won't bring another soulmate. Or if, you know, if you're staying too long in a toxic relationship, perhaps that other person has met someone else. So it really is really divinely timed. And so I always laugh when someone says, well, it wasn't the right time for love. I go, do you think God doesn't know what time it's on the planet? When God brings you love, it is the exact right time. And you have to say, why God? Why this? Why now? Okay. Even if you're married and it's in a relationship that is not a higher love, not serving your higher good, you may be brought a soulmate while you're married, which is kind of, you know, a tsunami with a hurricane in your life. And you have to say, why God? Why this? Why now? And, you know, to God, only love is real. And, you know, God wants us to be with that heart, soul, mind, body, committed love. And so divine timing is everything with love. So it's the timing is never off. Although in the Song of Songs in the Old Testament, there is a line in it saying, do not bring love before its time, which I always think is funny because we might feel like it's brought before its time because we're not ready for it. But it's actually always divinely timed. It may not work out at that time. Maybe there's too many obstacles to overcome, and yet you met 5 years ago. Relationships tend to work in these five-year cycles, and maybe it will come around 5 years later again. So it depends. Maybe we can only meet the person 40 years ago when we're in high school, and yet we had other lessons to learn from other people, and it didn't work out. And then through social media, Facebook, somehow 40 years later, we reconnect again. So it's interesting how it is so divinely timed.
So what would you say about two souls that seem to be sort of spiraling, right, in and out of each other's lives, but never quite make it? In other words, like, you know, that there are these intervals that they keep coming together and then they go apart, come together, go apart, or there's like a near miss. What do you say about
that? That's very common. And the fact that you bring it up, it's probably what 90% of my readings concern. You know, that they can't figure out why such a high love can't seem to work out. And it's because there are lessons in love being brought to us and there's lessons in love being taken from us. And we have to learn them. And sometimes it is in the separation that we start to heal certain issues and that we start to address our own commitment phobia, our own fears of loving someone who could die on us. So even though the souls may not be together on the earth plane, souls continue to commune telepathically with each other. And they kind of can connect as if the, you know, the person's still alive on earth, but you may commune with them as if they're dead. You may get messages in dreams or hear a song and a message comes through. So there's always this communication going on. And it's often, unfortunately, at this stage of human consciousness, a truly high level of love. And again, I don't know how many levels of soulmates there are. I wish I had that answer, but I really don't. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's 1,000 levels of soulmates. So I don't know. But if it's a really, really high level, it demands healing upwards of 90% of our issues. And most people just simply do not want to heal 90% of their issues. I mean, Carl Jung, the famous psychiatrist, psychologist, said, most humans will do anything to avoid facing their soul. They don't want to heal that many issues. And it simply may be they're not ready to heal that many issues. If we're smart, you know, and for me, when I had a similar experience, I would have to say, God does not bring this high of love to rip my heart out. There must be lessons for me to learn. And I just kept looking at them. And that's how Grant Me a Higher Love actually came about. Like, how could I be given this higher love that doesn't work out? It didn't make sense to me. And I began to understand the path of love and fear. A higher love really brings up a great fear. There are so many fears that we have to overcome in order to maintain soulmate love. And so it was trying to find out the answers to these questions that made me write the book. And so sometimes it's just meant that we meet these people, we're not supposed to be with them, and yet our soul continues to grow and evolve. And if I had stayed with that person or if it had worked out, I would have believed in happily ever after and that, oh yeah, you meet a soulmate and it's like all, you know, roses and, you know, butterflies. For me, I realized, no, that's not how it works. And, you know, in continuing to grow and evolve, I think my soul probably evolved 20 lifetimes from that experience. But if it had worked out, maybe I just would have been blissfully happy in the suburbs without having evolved and grown.
Right. And even, you know, as you described before, the book that was channeled through you perhaps wouldn't have had the opportunity to come forward. And so
it would not have.
Yeah. So what we're actually seeing is, number one, this is a kind of, you know, universal orchestration that just brings me to my knees, right? When
exactly.
It does. It brings us to our knees. You cannot dispute it, not one moment. And so we see all of these different, you know, potential trajectories of your life that could have happened. But the truth was, is that you actually came into alignment with the soul's purpose that you had in this lifetime, in this body time. So when we take a look at that, it's like everything that we experience in relationship is so astoundingly profound because it's
exactly.
All so meaningful and is the very basis for the expansion that we came here to create.
Exactly. And that's why when people come to a reading devastated because the love of their life didn't work out, you know, I have great compassion for them and empathy for this. And I love the way you said brought you to your knees because that's how I felt. I felt it was a big cosmic kick in the ass that brought me so deep to my knees. And the agony that I experienced for decades was something that I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. And yet because it was such a high love, I refused to self-destruct over it. And that's how you could tell when it's a soulmate. You don't self-destruct. You try to find the deeper and the higher meaning in the pain. And, you know, again, God doesn't ask us to suffer for no reason, okay? And sometimes our karmic lesson from this experience is perseverance and endurance, that we can endure this. We can persevere through it. And, you know, love never dies. And, you know, we'll see this person probably in spirit or in another lifetime. but it wasn't meant for this particular lifetime. But it is an agony that really does bring people to their knees.
Agony and ecstasy. Same.
Exactly.
Oh my God. You know, it is, I think that this is a topic that we will never tire of talking about, because each of us has been blessed with some level of relationship love, right? Even if it was a little crush that you had on somebody in first grade. There are things, right? There are things that come forward because of that. And of course, it's always about learning about the self, but I really love how, you know, you talk about getting the soul lessons from the soul mate. It makes perfect sense. It's like, where else would we get those? But
and not this level. If you don't want to get the big lessons, play on the ladder of love, on the what I call the razor's edge mate, or the mediocre version of love, kind of like the old arranged marriages, a man and woman to fit a plan. If you don't want to get the big soul lessons, have a mediocre love. It will never demand you heal the big issues. You have to heal like 40% of your issues so you manage to get along with another human being. But you don't have to heal the big personal issues and collective fears, like the fear of loving someone who could die on you, fear of judgment, the big fears. If you don't want to heal any issues, stay in a cellmate relationship, a toxic relationship where you stay in your childhood rage and anger and you look like a lunatic behind closed doors, and then you could go outside in the outside world and look normal. So soulmate love demands healing issues, and that is part of the soulmate contract, that you commit to the love and you commit to the healing. And that's why only 1% of people truly maintain soulmate love, because they either do not commit to the love fully or they don't commit to healing. So, you know, there's very few people that truly maintain soulmate love, which is very sad.
So let me just ask you a question. So are you saying then that the soulmate romantic relationships are meant to be lifelong?
Not all of them. Some of them are meant to be brief. You know, we could have an intense soulmate relationship with someone for a year and have learned all the lessons that that has to teach. Others may be there for our entire life, even if we're not with that person. Or other ones may be come in and out of our life. And so it really, each soulmate relationship is unique unto itself. And remember, it's a free will universe, and we're not responsible for someone else's running from love or someone else's inability to heal their issues enough to make that work. And if we did everything karmically correct, which meant, you know, we said what we meant without being mean about it, we were truthful because the truth is invaluable. We did everything we could to make that soulmate relationship work, but the other person, due to their fears and unhealed issues, run or just doesn't accept a relationship, we would be granted another soulmate because we're not responsible for the ending of that relationship. And so we are only can be responsible for our behaviors. And when people think there's only one soulmate, I'm like, that's wrong. We may only have one twin flame, which I don't discuss very often because you only meet those in perhaps your last incarnation. But even if it were a twin flame that didn't work out, there are other high soulmates that you would be given that would probably be a lot easier relationships. And so, again, it depends on who we are, how old a soul we are, how many soulmates we might meet in this lifetime, and if we're open to it. Some people are just not open to a higher love. And I have an expression, he or she's just rejecting a higher love. They're just not into a higher love. It's not you they're rejecting. They just don't want to heal those issues. Mm-hmm. So it's a complex topic, soulmates. And again, there are lessons to learn. And, you know, the best I can do is help someone understand the lessons they were to learn from a relationship that didn't work out and reassure them that they would be granted another soulmate.
I love that. You know, it's such a powerful reassurance that you know, the universe always has our back, right? So knowing that, number one, and I think this is such an important topic, because I know so many people who get caught up in this belief that they are responsible for the healing of somebody else. And particularly if it's, you know, this, what they consider to be their soulmate romantic relationship, and not noticing that like pivotal time where that relationship becomes toxic, when you believe that it's your responsibility to usher that person through their healing journey. And that's where I think all the suffering comes from, because we have these beliefs, right, that we're supposed to be in this higher love. And we believe that we've met that person who we are capable of creating that with. And then, like you said, they're just not willing to take the responsibility for healing the parts of them that are actually keeping them separate from the soulmate love, but also preventing the higher love from being created.
Exactly. And it's funny that Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships came second. Book probably should have come first. And in that book, it deals with the fact that good people tend to be fixers, and they think if they love someone, give them enough chances, they could fix them. And sometimes the hardest lesson we learn from a soulmate is we can't fix people,
right?
And that's the biggest lesson that old souls are here to learn. It is not our job to fix people. It is our job to be a messenger. We deliver messages to those people, and they do with what they want with that message. And so thinking that we're going to fix people is what keeps us really trapped in unhappy relationships. And, you know, that's a really hard lesson. We do believe that we can fix people. We do want to, but it's up to each individual person to heal their own issues. And that's why it doesn't work out, soulmates, because one or both people just refuse to heal the issues that come up.
And I think that this is particularly challenging in because of the field that we're in. So we are healers, we are light workers, and we have many different modalities that we're doing that on, right? But in our community, this is who we are. We are healers. And I very often say that it can be so challenging to discern who should be on your table or in your bed. because those who belong on your table do not belong in your bed.
Right.
And those who belong on your bed don't belong on your table, because we cannot be the healer. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And it's a hard thing to know when, you know, enough is enough, and when to walk away. But as we talked in the beginning of the program, is that the soul contract is that as long as I'm helping you evolve and grow, then I'm here in your life. But if I'm hindering that, if I'm enabling you, because old souls are great enablers. Okay, people mess up and we clean it up. That's not the laws of karma. Mm-hmm. We have to stop with cleaning up messes we didn't make. And so we have to learn when we're actually stopping that person from evolving. And, you know, the good news is love can be fixed 2 feet in a relationship, or sometimes 2 feet out. Mm-hmm. You can't have the 1 foot in, 1 foot out. I don't know if I'm staying. I don't know if I'm going. So you try for a while to put your 2 feet completely in. If that doesn't work, then you take 2 feet out. Doesn't mean it's over forever, but maybe that other person will seek therapy, or you will heal the issues you need to heal, and you can come back later on. But if you're doing the 1 foot in, 1 foot out dance, nothing is changing and nothing is going to happen for the better. And if you do that for long enough time, the universe will get in there and kick it forward one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And it hurts a lot more when the universe gets in there and starts fixing it.
Yeah.
So, you know, put your 2 feet in if you're unsure of a relationship, see how that works, or take your 2 feet out. And again, it doesn't mean it's over forever. And that's something people have to comprehend. Sometimes people do come back healed or having done their own inner homework and realizing, you know, what they needed to do to make the relationship work.
So who knew in all of this that the secrets to love we could have found in the Hokey Pokey?
Exactly.
Just by taking the Hokey Pokey to heart.
Right. And just and doing that. And, you know, we can't keep staying in a relationship that's hurting us, because that becomes very addictive and it becomes something that's hurtful and brings out the worst in us. And it's hard to let go when something started out as a soulmate and you're always hoping to bring it back up the ladder of love. And as a relationship expert, sometimes I'll have to tell someone, I can't bring that back up the ladder of love for you because you're with someone who I call an unfixable. The person's highly manipulative, judgmental, not accountable for their behaviors. And that person is not going to be fixed in this lifetime. They're too old to be fixed. Their brain chemistry is set. And you're just going to do this dance for the rest of your life. Some people just won't be able to bring it back up to soulmate love again. You can be mediocre, but that's not the contract. The contract is not that it was soulmate, now I'm going to enable you and it's going to be mediocre because I'm going to shut up for the rest of my life. That's not soulmate anymore. And so, you know, bringing it back up to soulmate depends on, can you fix each other? Can that person fix themselves? Are they fixable? And it's kind of determining if someone has the potential to change for the better. And it's sad because we like to think everybody can keep changing and evolving. But again, I used that word reset before. A large percentage of people decide, I'm resetting my life. I am not learning anything anymore. And if that's that kind of a person, you're not going to teach them. They've just determined, I don't want to learn anymore. And it's hard for people who are always growing and evolving to comprehend that. But it's just, you know, some people will get it right in spirit. They'll get it right in 10 more lifetimes, but maybe they're not getting it right in this lifetime. And it's hard to acknowledge that, and it's sad, but it's something that we sometimes have to do with people. We're just not the ones to help them at this point.
Yeah. I think that's such a powerful lesson for both parties. But particularly for the one who had taken on that responsibility to be able to just walk away and know that that is the healthy thing to do.
And the karmically correct thing to do.
Karmically
we don't get brownie points
yep. mm-hmm.
from the other side for enabling people.
Right.
You know, we just don't. And it's hard. And, you know, that's what soulmates are about. They're about lessons and, you know, try to learn the lessons and don't, you know, be brought another person to teach you the same lesson because you didn't learn it the first time. If you don't learn, you can't fix people. You'll get another person that needs fixing. And so eventually learn the lesson so that you could be brought a healthy and healed person so that you could have a healthy and happy relationship. Because soulmate love should feel like a pajama party with your best friend. It shouldn't feel like, you know, a war zone and, you know, a constant bringing you pain, because love is peace and joy. It isn't pain.
Yes. Well, I know that one full well.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. Who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
Well. Yeah.
My, oh, fact, for sure.
It used to be when I was married, I would often kid with my husband and say, you know, we don't have to celebrate our anniversary on the day that we were married. We just celebrate it on Veterans Day every year.
Now that's funny.
It was. And we would both just laugh and laugh. It was so true. We just celebrate Veterans Day.
Right. And when you bring that up, that's ultimately what my mission is world peace. One mm-hmm. soulmate couple at a time. Because soulmates teach the world peace, love, and joy. And they teach their children that. Cellmate love, toxic love teaches war, and mediocre love teaches cold war. Mm. And so the only hope for humanity is soulmate couples.
Oh, God, that was so powerful. Mediocre love teaches cold war. Wow. It was amazing, Cindy.
And see how you brought the Veterans Day and fit right in with that, right?
Yeah.
We don't want any more war on this planet.
No.
But if we can't make peace in our own heart and in our own home, how could there be peace in the world?
That's right. So, speaking of cold, I do have to bring up a question. So with everybody, and particularly with the pandemic and, you know, very little socialization taking place, and people still really knowing that their heart is yearning for a higher love, can we find soulmate love on the internet?
Interesting enough, it can be done. There is a different quality of people online right now because there's hardly any other way to meet people. And mm-hmm. so people who have thought, I'm never going online, never, have gone online.
Yeah.
And so it's possible. And normally, if you're going to find a soulmate online, it usually happens fairly quickly. You may have decided to go online for the first time, and this person has only been on a week or two, and you connect. So it can happen. You also have to go with a very discerning eye if you're online dating, because you can't go in there believing everybody's good, because, you know, that's not true. But you can't make up half the stuff you're going to learn, you know, people you're going to meet on there, but go with a sense of humor and, you know, eliminate people pretty quickly. If you're going to meet someone online, I would advise you to pretty soon stop with just the texting, because that's a very dehumanizing way of meeting. And soulmates recognize each other through the DNA in their voice. You hear their voice and you recognize them through looking in their eyes or seeing their eyes. So if you're only texting, you're not going to really be able to connect that way. So sooner than later, ask to FaceTime or Zoom and do a virtual date, in which, you know, if you can't talk to someone on a virtual date for very long, if you're not very connected. Mm-hmm. So try to, and if the person doesn't want to see you, you know, and they don't want to, you know, show you who they are, they may not be who they say they are. So, you know, trying to get people to virtual date a bit and then meet in a socially distanced outdoors for a while and both agree to get tested for COVID and then meet. Just the way probably, you know, people should be as concerned about STDs as they are as COVID. So, you know, testing is good and meet sooner than later. Don't, you know, so many people think they fall in love with someone they've never met because they just begin to have this illusion of who a person is. So meeting sooner than later is important, and it can be done. And also, even if you don't meet your soulmate online, it may be just signaling the universe that you're really ready for love. Mm. And so they could bring you someone more in a different way. But it just, if you've done nothing to find anybody for 5 years, the universe says, you know, do you want love? You're not doing anything. God can't airdrop your lover into your bedroom. So kind of, are you going to do something to find love? And just going online is a signal to the universe. And, you know, spirit knows what we're doing, and they know who our soulmate is. They may then put a thought into our soulmate's head, go online. And that person probably will say, I don't even know why I went online. I don't even know why I did it. So
it's amazing.
It can be done. And, you know, believe, and the best thing to be granted a higher love is to believe that there is a higher love. You know, the magic of believing. If you don't think a higher love exists or soulmates exist, then, you know, the universe and the, you know, the law of attraction, if you say love doesn't exist, well, then the universe is going to show you love doesn't exist. That's what you believe.
Sure.
So you have to go into believing in a higher love and believing that it exists. And from there, the universe will bring your soulmate into alignment with you. But you do have to, you know, get out there in some way. Like if someone, you know, people are being very good matchmakers right now. It's not because they're great matchmakers. It's because God puts a thought in their head, or someone says, hey, you know, your brother-in-law is perfect for your friend. So if someone wants to set you up, be open to it. You know, if someone seems outside of your type, because one of the biggest mistakes you can make is keep dating your type, and how has it worked out for you? Not so great. So why don't you try someone outside of your type and, you know, expand your way of meeting people. you know, Zoom, there's many Zoom things happening. Join one of those. You know, get yourself out there a little bit and believe in love, and it will happen.
Are these the kinds of things that you help people with online when you're doing your readings? I mean, does this sort of information come up for people? Like,
yes, all the time.
Okay.
And you know, specific ways in which they could find someone, or it's mostly removing their blocks to love. A lot of people have a lot of blocks. Okay. And just figuring out what is the block that's keeping the love from coming. And once you remove those blocks or the fears out of the way, then they're ready for the higher love. And the more you heal your own issues, because soulmate love will bring up unhealed issues. So the more that you go to therapy or read your self-help books or do your inner thinking, it will make less to happen when the soulmate comes. So, you know, heal your own issues first. And once you do that, you're opening up the vortex to that higher love to come your way.
So that's what you help people to identify then, like what their fears are, their blocks, and then help them to open up the channels for love to flow in both directions.
Right, because, you know, sometimes people don't realize all the blocks they have.
Sure.
And most of our blocks are judgments. You know, we've judged our parents' marriage harshly. You know, we swear we're never going to get a divorce, so then you're never getting married, you're never having a relationship. It's seeing where their judgments lie that may be keeping them stuck. So it's, you know, spirit will tell me, you know, the dead will tell me, their mother will tell me, their grandmother will tell me, you know, the family, you know, dysfunction that's getting in the way. And so all of those blocks, it doesn't take that long to remove, because spirits really, you know, they don't want you to be in 10 years of therapy. They want you to figure it out. And if, you know, come on, let's just get this out pretty fast, see the patterns, break the patterns. And in a very short time, like, let's be ready for love. So, and it's kind of sometimes just simple things that the person, when I say it, will go ding, ding, ding. You know, they can't believe it. So it's fun to watch them remove their blocks and then watch them get a soulmate. And I love that, because then it validates everything that I'm doing. We want to see that. We want to see that someone has found their higher love and maintained it. So it's great. That's my happy part of my job.
What a delight. Sheer joy. Oh, that's wonderful. Oh my gosh, Cindy, we could talk forever and ever and ever.
I know, we could have a pajama wonderful. Party and just talk, couldn't we?
I think we should. Yeah, can we do that on Zoom?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
And just have, you know, a fun time with that.
Yeah, that would be great. Well, we have to close for today, but definitely going to continue this conversation. So I have two things to ask of you. Number one, how people can find you. I know that you have stuff going on to share. And of course, we will have all of those links below on your guest page. But I also know that you have a product for us. And I know that you must have some words of wisdom to give to our audience before you part. So lay it on us, girl.
Okay. Well, you can check out my website, which is grantmeahigherlove.com. And on there, you can see my the two books that are for sale there. And and I love when people read the books and, you know, contact me via my website or my email, which is cindysansonebrath@gmail.com, and tell me how it's helped them or ask questions. So that's great. And, you know, my parting wisdom is, if you want to have a higher love, then be an invitation to love yourself by being the most loving, open, warm, receptive, funny, kind human being you can be, because that will just draw other love-minded people to you. So be an invitation to love. Be open.
Makes perfect sense to me. So thank you again for everything and for being here and for all of your incredible wisdom. and your loving heart. It's something that has always attracted me to you. And for our audience, I know that you've gotten so much out of this conversation today. And please leave your comments, your questions. We'd love to hear back from you, just as Cindy said. And of course, if you want to reach me directly, you can do so at heartshiftcoach.com or info@heartshiftcoach.com. And I would love to hear from you, and you will hear back from me. So until next time, I am Marcy Newman, your host, and I just feel so blessed by our conversation today, and I hope that you're all feeling the same. Thank you so much, Cindy. Until next time. Bye-bye. Many blessings to you all.